good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a gay man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. My name is Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot and taxpayer name, and we discuss Native issues and events all over Turtle Island, which means the whole continent here. Wendy, it looks like a turtle from the sky, and we didn't know that back 10,000 years when we called it Turtle Island. So we discuss local and national events, and as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for any COVID-19 questions. Give them a call.
Wow. Hey, we got a jam-packed show. We have House Representative Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota on, and she used to be a regular when we just did the show 2 hours on Saturdays. And it'll be good to hear from her and just get updates. And I just want to give a special shout out to Matt McNeil. The show on previously here in the Twin Cities, he gave us an Ogama and us a big shout out, Wendy, about what we were talking about yesterday with the Orange Shirt Day. You know, so it was pretty heavy show, and really one of the things he said, Ogama, that he really freaked out was that the lady that the orange shirt was about was only 54 years old. He really rammed that home that it wasn't that long ago, meaning a child of the 70s.
That's right.
Yeah, so let's get to Ogama with the news. We miss our other partner in crime, and he's heading to the Dakotas with some family stuff. So, Lewis, drive safely. And here's Ogama with the news.
Hi, Anibujo, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuikwe. As always, I want to start with some Stop Line 3 news. Enbridge Energy announced earlier this week that they were going to begin to pump oil through Line 3 as of yesterday, the 30th, or today, October 1st. I haven't yet gotten any confirmation if that has happened, but recently, water protectors became aware of a massive frack out and an aquifer breach that occurred in Clearwater County back in January of 2021, meaning that Enbridge did not report, despite all of their supposed independent monitors and environmental team, did not report this initially to the DNR, and this is a clear violation of their water permits that they received from the state of Minnesota to complete this project, and yet Enbridge is still being allowed to continue forth with their pressure testing and to put this oil through the pipeline. So what's happening right now is that there has been a call for Stop Line 3 support east of Bagley, Minnesota on Highway 2 at Airport Road. That will be the site of the new Firelight Camp. If you are able to come up north, they do need you to come and hold space there. We need you to keep making those phone calls to Governor Walz, to President Biden, to anybody within the Biden administration who has any sort of power here, Army Corps of Engineer, Deb Haaland, all of those people. Keep making those phone calls. Keep writing those letters. Keep sending those emails. And remind them that this is far from over, that there's, even if this pipeline is shut down after oil goes through it, much like the Dakota Access Pipeline is shut down, that's still a win for the environment, that's still a win for Minnesota. And as Winona LaDuke said in her most recent press conference, the money and the jobs that would come from Line 3 would actually come from removing it, removing the old Line 3 and this new expansion of the Line 3 would actually create more permanent jobs or more even temporary jobs in Minnesota that could be filled by Minnesotan people than the Line 3 project brought in to begin with. So it's definitely something that is worth your time. And if you're looking for other ways to get involved, make sure you swing over to stopline3.org. Or if you're looking to donate funds, you can go to stopline3.org/hub, H-U-B. And coming up here in the middle of October, starting on Indigenous Peoples Day on October 11th, there is the People versus Fossil Fuels rally in Washington, D.C. Thousands of people are going to take action at the White House and demand President Biden choose a side, people or fossil fuels. There's action info, an invitation, a logistics guide, frequently asked questions, legal FAQs. All of those things are available on the website, peoplevsfossilfuels.org. It's going to be an awesome event. Monday, October 11th is obviously Indigenous Peoples Day. However, actions will be taking place every day between October 11th and 15th, starting at 8 a.m. at McPherson Square. Nonviolent direct action trainings and legal briefings will be held each evening at 6 p.m. starting on October 10th. So if you get out there the night before, that's really great. And then on their homepage, they have a really, really powerful 2-minute video. And the opening to the video is that we cannot negotiate with wildfires. And that is absolutely true. We can't negotiate with these extreme weather events that we're starting to see here in the United States and in other parts of the world, like we could negotiate with, say, you know, our representatives and those people who are supposed to be working for us. So right now the challenge is demanding that Biden pick a side. If you're going to be the clean energy president, we're asking that you take that side and you do that. President Biden, I'm talking to you. We'd love to see you on board with protecting the next 7 generations with us Native people here. In other Native news, the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe is reminding people of an upcoming Ojibwe language book launch event. There's going to be a book signing event honoring the elders to be held at the Mille Lacs Indian Museum next Wednesday, October 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. There's food and beverages that will be available and book signings by the authors. The project has teamed up with linguists, teachers, and Ojibwe language experts to create new literature for Ojibwe language learners. And it's really, really exciting. It looks like there's 5 total books that are being launched, and all of the authors are going to be there. So that's going to be a really exciting event. If you've never been to the Mille Lacs Indian Museum, it's actually really cool. It's just off of Highway 169. So if you go north on Highway 169, you'll come into Mille Lacs, and the Indian Museum is right there. So making sure to give that a mention. I also want to mention from Camp McGizzy, they recently had a statement that said that they are going to remain open. So Camp McGizzy is going to remain open in solidarity of water protectors from all over, and they will be open year-round. And then for the first time, our relatives in Canada, the Mi'kmaq people, who are lobster fishermen, are legally allowed to sell part of their lobster catch. Previously, the Canadian government has prevented them from doing that. And if you remember, in 2020, in early 2021, the Mi'kmaq people and the fishermen were actually attacked by other lobster fishermen, afraid that if they went commercial, that it would kill their business. So their boats were attacked, their people were attacked. But this will be the first season now this fall that they can actually sell their products legally. And it's mostly for community, but they do sell a little bit extra. And, you know, I'm really excited for that for them, because that was a big deal. Robert, Wendy, do you remember that earlier this past year?
I do remember that story.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was pretty
Thanks
horrific.
Thanks for following up.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. And then, you know, it's Friday and we've got Ruth Buffalo coming up here. Ruth Buffalo's with the MHA Nation in North Dakota, and we're really excited to have her back on the show. We haven't had her on in a while. I'm really excited to hear some updates from her and hear what's going on with our neighbors over in the Dakotas.
Yeah, really a really good point. Yeah, we do have House Representative Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota up next, Wendy. And good report as always. Ogama, really appreciate it. We see Lewis there. I popped that up earlier, but he said, listening from South Dakota, temporarily, jobs cannot replace permanent damage to Mother Earth. He knows that, and he speaks the truth. Up next, again, Ruth Buffalo, House Representative. We're really excited.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Native Earth Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this cat is bothering me. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Kaya no wa eni
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, we are super duper excited to have House Representative Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota on. We haven't spoken with her in quite a while, and I really miss the early morning when we used to interview on Saturdays, and we'd have that two-hour show. Ruth, welcome, and thank you so much for Pinigigi for being on. We'd love to hear some updates, and we had a really heavy show yesterday because of the Orange Shirt Day, and we had our heart was heavy, but also it was lifted up too by seeing how many people that were involved with that movement. Welcome again, Ruth.
Yes, Matsugita, thank you for the invite. It's good to be in this virtual space with you.
Yeah. So what did you do yesterday? I saw some pictures on your Facebook. It seemed like your community was out with the orange shirts also.
Yes. Here in Fargo, the Fargo-Moorhead area, we had a remembrance and healing walk. We had a prayer gathering at the Civic Center in Fargo, and then we walked across to the Veterans Memorial Bridge that is right above the Red River. And so we had a really good turnout. And so it was kind of the conclusion for this week of a 3-part series of events. Earlier this week, we had a really wonderful panel discussion featuring faith-based leaders, activists, and academics, and people who have come from families who have been a part of the movement regarding the doctrine. So the topic was Doctrine of Discovery on Wednesday, and then Thursday was a conversation with tribal historic preservation officers, TIPOs or THPOs. We had a gentleman from Montana, Fort Belknap, Montana, and then also Standing Rock. And then we ended the week with a walk. And so really heavy topic, as you all are aware, but it was good to be in community together and to support one another. And so, yeah, that was what happened on the eastern side of the state. But in the central part of the state, in our state's capital of Bismarck, there was a lot of activities happening there. They convened at the renamed Custer Park throughout the day, but there was a run that started from Standing Rock and went 49 miles into Bismarck, and then they marched up to the state capitol. Also, there were motorcyclists who also showed up in support for the Orange Shirt Day. This is the first time in North Dakota that we have recognized Orange Shirt Day. I think before we've kind of done it individually and through social media, but this year, Fargo-Moorhead, the mayors did a proclamation to recognize Orange Shirt Day. And so I know in Bismarck, they did a really good job of preparing different community activities and really brought everybody throughout the state together.
Wow, that's exciting. Ruth, maybe what you can do is explain a little bit to our listeners, because we're in Madison and Chicago now too, live, and just to who you are. And I know we've been blessed to know you for a couple of years and on the radio and the symposiums that we did during COVID. Just tell a little bit about where you represent. I know you have four children, you're married, and that's a full-time job, and plus you're representing our people. And also, you know, you're in North Dakota, but you're also a national figure too. So I'd love you to explain to our listeners that may not know you a little bit about you.
Sure. I, you know, failed to introduce myself in my Hidatsa language, and I always try to hold myself accountable to do that, because I'm still learning at my age to speak our language. And So, I'm the great-granddaughter of Ruth Rabbithead, Buffalo Bowman, and Ted Joseph, or Theodore Joseph Buffalo Bowman Sr. I'm originally from Mandaree. I'm from the western side of North Dakota, and I currently live on the eastern side in Fargo, and I represent District 27. I was elected into the North Dakota State House in 2019. And I will be running for re-election in 2022. This, however, falls right within the redistricting year, because due to the census being taken every 10 years, my district especially will be redistricted, or the lines will be redrawn. And so we'll be convening for a special session potentially November 8th to vote on the proposed new district maps.
Wow, that's amazing. I know here in Minnesota, we had quite a lot more Indians be counted this year. How was that in North Dakota?
It was fair, I would say. I've heard mixed reviews on the census turnout. Of course, we are still in a pandemic, and so that did hinder some of the numbers from being counted. And so, speaking of numbers being counted, I'm not sure if you're following the elections, the tribal elections in Standing Rock, but we're still waiting for official results. I think a lot of people across North Dakota are watching that race. Wow. The unofficial results have one of the candidates winning by 3 votes, or one of the other candidates losing by 3 votes. So wow. It's a very... we haven't seen anything posted yet, but everybody is, you know, always clicking refresh on the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe Facebook page. So that's something that's kind of exciting, or we're just kind of interested to see what the outcome will be.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Ruth, but I'm a representative now of Ho-Chunk Nation.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Watch what you pray for. You might get it, right? So this has been very interesting 9 weeks for me. I don't really talk much about it on the show, but we say at the end of our show, you need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office, and you're a great example of that, and inspired many, including myself. So Native politics, though, you know, we don't like to talk, we won't talk about much of that on today's show, but yeah. So thank you for that shout out. What else has been going on? I know you're busy, and I'm excited that you're going to be running again, correct?
Yes, I will be running again. Regardless of how the lines are drawn, I still will be running again.
Well, you can count on Native Roots Radio Network to support you any way we can, whether it's symposiums and get things out there, the word out there, when we get close to election time. So we got your back if you need any of our help.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else is going on? You know, is this redistricting really going to be hard for the Democratic Party because the way the Republicans are in charge of the House and Senate there in North Dakota?
Definitely. I think any time, even if you now are considered an incumbent within the Democratic Party or within North Dakota state legislature, it's still going to be an uphill climb. Because we are a very red state. And so we're a trifecta, actually, you know, where the governor, the majority in the House and the Senate are from the same party, which is the Republican Party. Currently, our numbers are, you know, there are, 14 of us out of 94 in the House. And on the Senate side, 10 out of 47. We are still hoping to, you know, it's an uphill climb for sure. And so we are, you know, we know that we have to go above and beyond the next candidate to get reelected, even as an incumbent. How it's looking for my district, there are three precincts. And the first two precincts, I did very well in those two precincts. I actually led in those two precincts. But those two precincts will be sliced out of my current district. Oh, and I fell behind in precinct 3. And so that's the precinct that I will be kept in. And then the district will be stretched further south into pick up a rural township of Oxbow and then the entire town of Horace. So stretching more into the rural areas south of Fargo.
Wow. Well, we're going to be here to help you get the word out because you do great work and you represent. Go ahead, Ogama, if you have a question. We only got a minute left in this segment. Go ahead.
Yeah, just real quickly. Do you notice a big difference in the opinions of your constituents in the Fargo metro area versus those that live in the rural areas? Is there big differences in what should be done in the legislature?
Well, we live in South Fargo. We're kind of south of the original South Fargo, like south of Fargo Davies High School. And so in this area, there's a lot of newer development and a lot of new homes coming up, a lot of younger families. But I think the common theme is that everybody wants, you know, a safer community, clean water, and also, you know, well-funded public schools, also access to behavioral health services. So I did grow up in a very rural area too. So I consider myself from, you know, a country person. So I'm hoping to strike that balance and appeal to the very rural voters.
Hey, Ruth, do you have time to do a little more, another segment with us?
Sure.
Awesome. Great. Hey, we're with Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota House Representative. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. We'll be right back after this short break, Wendy.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Join Quorum as they celebrate their 28th annual National Coming Out Day Luncheon, presented by U.S. Bank. This inspirational and transformational luncheon gives voice to the power of living openly, honestly, and with authenticity at work, in our families, in our faith communities, and across our lives. The realities of living an authentic life are deeper than coming out. We all have many layers of identity, and we must work together to create a world where people can bring their whole self to everything they do. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon serves as a celebration of who we are individually and together. Reserve your tickets today for Friday, October 8th. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon will be at Target Field, One Twins Way in Minneapolis. The Marketplace Expo opens at 10 a.m. and the luncheon will begin at 11:45. Tickets are available to members for $50 or non-members for $60. Learn more and purchase your tickets at TwinCitiesQuorum.com. That's Twin Cities, Quorum.com.
Hi, Minneapolis. This is Randy Rhodes. Listen to me. Weeknights, 10 to midnight, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Greg, host of Ghostbox Radio, to tell you about one of my favorite places in the Twin Cities, Collective Dimensions. They offer a wide range of classes and events to help you on your journey with self-care and spiritual growth. Classes include Reiki, psychic development, tarot, and divination, just to name a few. So, awaken your individual and collective awareness with Collective Dimensions. They will assist you in finding the right tools to help with your spiritual growth and enlightenment. More at CollectiveDimensions.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Showers and thunderstorms overnight with a low of 65, then Saturday, cloudy skies and a high of 72. Call the cleaning experts at Zero Rest to get all the summer stains, dirt, and smells out of your home. Set up an appointment today at 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Will Blake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
It's always funny to hear that. We got to get him on the show again. That was funny.
Yeah, please. Ruth, have you been able to watch any of Reservation Dogs?
Yes. Yep. My family and I have. Yep.
Awesome.
Basically.
It's been really funny. And then both Bobby Wilson I've known for years because they both kind of came up into the Twin Cities before they were comedians in the 1491ers, but it was hilarious to have them on. We're here with Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota House Rep, and we're checking in with Ruth. We haven't talked to her in a while, and Ruth, what are you working on now, and what do you hope to work on in the next fiscal year?
Yeah, so definitely in listening mode, really wanting to hear from constituents and citizens on what matters most to them and how we can be of service. As the only Native American woman currently serving in the state legislature, we're still trying to build our bench, so to speak. You know, it'd be nice to get a large Native caucus, more than just two or three people. And so definitely working on candidate recruitment for the upcoming election cycle. But I receive a lot of a lot of requests across the state to help or to provide insight and guidance on various issues throughout the state, which I'm very thankful to be elected and to represent District 27. So I'm really listening and trying to find ways to help find upstream solutions. I currently sit on two interim committees, that is the healthcare and the judiciary. So we'll be meeting this Tuesday, October 5th in Bismarck, the entire day to go over different studies that have been approved by legislative management that we'll be studying as interim committees during this interim year. I do have one piece of legislation, a study that made it through both the House and the Senate and is now being studied. It was selected by legislative management, and then it is now being studied by the acute psychiatric treatment interim committee. And that piece of legislation is focusing on the behavioral health needs of incarcerated individuals. And so I was able to sit in on that committee hearing last week, and it was really interesting to hear from different key stakeholders across the state. And also really striking and sad information regarding the impacts of COVID and how hard it, of course, things we knew, just to hear the statistics and from people who are working on the front lines. Say, for example, the Cass County Detention Center had shared that a lot of their contacts are way down, detox numbers are way down, and they attribute this to the significant deaths lost last year due to COVID. And then, of course, the long-term criminal charges that would keep them out of the detention center. So,
wow, that is heavy. Sounds like you're busy. Can you tell our audience, too, a little bit? I know it's different. It's funny here in Minnesota. You know, we have Heather Keeler and also Mary Kunish that are on our show weekly. And their show, their job is part-time, and it's a part-time job, but yet they've been working full-time, and I know yours is a way part-time job, and you work full-time. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Yes, they refer to us, we're referred to as citizen legislators, and so there's nothing glamorous about it. We don't have paid staff, we don't have our own office space. I think the first time I was doing the tour that morning before we were to get sworn in, the freshmen or the incoming freshmen were given a tour of the Capitol and the chambers. And that was my question was, where are our offices? And, you know, because we have this big, tall skyscraper building, and you would think or imagine that, you know, one of those little windows would be your office space, but not the case. They said, you're looking at it, and pointed out to the chamber, you know, so where we sit and vote, cast our votes, that's our office space.
Wow.
So yeah, we're very, very part-time. We meet every other year, and we serve 4-year terms, and we do not have term limits yet.
Wow. That's amazing that it isn't the same all around the country. I know. The thing, you know, it's a part-time job here, but again, since COVID, and it's easy to meet, our legislators seem like they've been working nonstop, you know, and I'm sure you, being a citizen legislator, is and making less money than these people here in Minnesota, that's got to be hard, because you have 4 kids, and, you know, it's just got to be hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's an adjustment. I mean, being in the public elected office, we're small business owners. My husband is a master barber, and we've owned our own barbershop since 2014. Thankful for that opportunity. And but, you know, any speaking engagements I have, you know, I don't ask for an honorarium or a speaker's fee. My mom is trying to convince me otherwise, but any entity that still insists on providing me an honorarium or a speaker's fee, I donate that to a local youth initiative based out of Bismarck that serves the entire state of North Dakota.
Wow, that's great. But I think I agree with your mother. You need to take those honorariums, because, you know, I can't remember how we met, but I do remember when I first heard of you, and you had that iconic picture of you looking up in the balcony with your regalia on and your fist up. That has got to be a poster somewhere. It was so inspiring to see. And then I think we met at a wrestling match or something, wasn't that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a fundraiser for a women's shelter.
Yeah, exactly.
St. Paul.
Yeah. And that's coming up again. I think it's their fourth annual or third annual. But that was funny. That was the first time we met. And then Mary Kunish interviewed you for the show. It was great. I'll let you know when they have the next wrestling match. They're having that fundraiser again is all I was going to say, but what were you going to say about the photo?
Oh yeah, that photo, I think a couple weeks ago, someone had messaged my representative Facebook page, and they were from Maryland, and they said, look what I saw in an art gallery, and it was that photo or with that pose, but it was had more colors in the background and things, but it was on sale. Someone had painted it and then is selling it in an art gallery in Maryland on the East Coast for about $500.
Oh, geez.
That doesn't seem right to me.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh man.
That's stolen art.
That's stolen picture.
Yeah.
Because if it's the same picture.
Yeah.
Wow. Geez.
It was interesting. I was like, oh, thanks for sharing.
Well, it's flattering too. And I don't know. I think I messaged you and I was like watching the TV and that picture popped up about some Native show here in the Twin Cities. I think I messaged you about that. That was weird too.
Oh, yeah. I think it was on like a HBO series or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
One of my uncles lives in Albuquerque, and he sent me that also. It showed up on his screen.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But it's a great picture, and when you get elected again, it's going to be hard to duplicate, but I hope. Oh, there it is. Yeah, good one, Ogma. There's the picture. That's an awesome picture, yeah. So any last words here before we let you go? We really appreciate you stopping in. And again, we want to, Native Roots Radio and Radio and Native Roots Network really want to help support you when this election's coming up. And it seems like it's only going to be about 400 days, 300 days. It's coming up right. Quick, isn't it?
Yes, it's coming up. You know, the year that I did run for office, normally we would just depending on the candidate, but how our system is structured here, that February of that election year, we have our district reorganizations within our respected party. And then from there, you seek endorsement. So normally it starts in February when you hit the ground running for your campaign. But yeah, we're all on campaign mode right now. So if anybody would like to offer, $27 to get me reelected in District 27, please go to my Facebook page, Representative Ruth Buffalo. It's a pinned post that has the link there where you can donate online.
Yeah, we'll put it up on our Facebook page too, and maybe later on in the show we'll have it up too. But Ruth, it's been so great to see you again and talk to you. I can't even tell you how great it is to have you on the show again, and I hope to see you more, especially with this election season coming up. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, and, thank you, Matsukadads.
All right, maybe just blast out that Facebook page again so our listeners could hear it.
Sure. It's Representative Ruth Buffalo on Facebook. It's a pinned post. As soon as you scroll down, you'll see my logo, Ruth is in the house. Please feel free to share that link or donate when you can. Every little bit helps. And so, unfortunately, we have to fundraise to get our message out there and to reach the voters and try to get on the TV channels or billboards and things like that, or do mailers. That's where the money that you donate will go towards. So,
well, and again, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for being on, and I hope to talk to you real, real soon.
Sounds good. Thank you. That's a good odds.
Wow, that was awesome.
That's great. She does great work. She's, she's inspiring and she's awesome. I'm kind of mad, though, that they took that picture and somebody else painted it and now wants to
I know. I don't know how that can be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ogumah.
Go ahead, Ogumah.
I was going to say, but I didn't want to take up too much of the representative's time, that that's been kind of an issue within the art community about whether or not if you paint something from a photo, if you've stolen something or not, if that photo is not copyrighted. So there's all kinds of, you know, examples of that with really famous photos. But I love that photo, number one. You know, every time I put my fist up, I a part of my soul imagines myself with that fan and doing that. You know, that look on her face, it touches my spirit, that photo does, every time I see it.
Well, we have to really support Ruth as much as we can on the show and whatever else she needs, because always talking to her, we know she's got such a great heart, you know.
She
leads with her heart, and that's a good way, you know. And I think she should take those honorariums, I really do. I do too. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back next, and I guess we're going to do a little trivia there in the Bears, huh, Wendy?
We'll get some bear trivia going on.
Stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy, but with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogumah, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on stronghartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Wake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, good one, Ogumah. All right. Okay. It's Fun Fact Friday. That's hard to say. When I need some water in my mouth, my teeth stuck to my lips there when I said fun facts. Hey, so tell me what you got going on here, Wendy. Wendy, you're I have a whole intro here, but I don't want to cut into your segment.
Oh, whatever. You don't have the paper in front of you. That's why you hear those papers rustling, everyone. He doesn't know what to say. Anyway,
We need to divest? No, that's the wrong paper.
That's the wrong one. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. So it's always Curtis. Thank you. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's my pleasure to do that. But a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week, last Friday, we were talking about bears and some trivia. trivia.
Oh, wow, that New York accent really came
I
out.
I don't remember where we left off, but I think we were talking about the koala bear are not really bears at all and are not related to the bear family. They are marsupials. And marsupials are mammals that have pouches and keep their young in the pouch like a kangaroo. Robert, here's a funny one. I think you'll like this one. The giant panda. We all know what that looks like. The giant panda. That's not a giant panda, but that is an awesome looking bear if you're watching us on Facebook. The giant panda has a large head for its body. Scientists believe this is because it needs a strong jaw and neck muscles to eat bamboo, which makes up 99% of its diet. The remaining 1% consists of insects on the bamboo and dead meat that the bamboo that the panda might just find.
Dead meat?
Dead meat, like if there's a dead animal or an animal that was killed by another animal. If they find it, they might eat it, but 99% of its diet is bamboo.
I didn't know they would eat carrion. That's really cool. I had no idea that they would forage like that. I just thought they ate bamboo.
Yeah. Well, It says here. It's a small, very small percent, but they will. Sloth bears. It's not a sloth, but a sloth bear. Its favorite food is termites. Slow. These bears have no front teeth, so it's easy to suck out insects from their nests like a vacuum cleaner. They can also seal their nostrils for better suction.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of S's in that sentence.
That's a hard one. I know. Bears have been known to eat almost anything, including snowmobile seats, engine oil, and rubber boots.
What?
This is kind of a sad one, number 24.
Okay, don't read it, then.
I'm going to read it. Lumber companies felt that they had no choice but to kill the black bears in Washington State that they were eating the bark from the trees. However, once someone thought to put piles of food in the forest, the bears stopped eating the trees and were happy to eat the free food. Because feeding the bears cost less than killing them, companies were happy to do it.
Is that the sloth bears?
That's the sloth bear. And these ones are some of my favorite bears. They look like they chronically need a haircut, and it's adorable.
Yes, it is adorable. So they have no front teeth, and they eat termites. That's the main diet. And then they could, make their nostrils close for more suction. A polar bear can swim up to 100 miles without resting. Isn't that crazy? 100 miles without resting. That's crazy. Bears can see almost as well as humans, and they can hear a little better.
Huh?
But they can smell much better.
Mm.
In fact, bears' sense of smell is around 100 times greater than humans. Polar bears can track down an odor from 20 miles away. They can smell a dead seal under 3 feet of solid ice. That's crazy. That's amazing.
How do they know that?
Animals are amazed. Well, they might test it, right? They put a dead seal under, 5 feet. And the bear can't smell it. Then they put it under 4 feet. And then 3 feet, they're like, voila. Then the bear can smell it.
Somebody has too much time, I think, Wendy.
These studies are important to do, though.
Yeah.
The shape of a bear's claw differs according to the type of bear. Bears that climb, such as black bears, have claws that are curved and strong to allow them to claw the tree bark. Bears that dig, such as grizzly bears, have straight and long claws. I just thought they had all the same kind of claws, so that's pretty cool. In 2004, a black bear was found unconscious at a campground in Seattle, Washington. It had broken into a cooler and used its claws and teeth to open dozens of beer cans. Although it sampled other types of beer, it chose to drink all the cans of only one type of beer.
Old Milwaukee.
After its drinking binge, the bear passed out. They won't
tell me,
say. They
tell
won't,
me it was Ham's beer with the dancing bear on the label.
Oh, that's funny because they won't. It doesn't say what kind of beer that the bear drank, but it preferred just one brand.
Poor bear, though, it couldn't even stop itself. Somebody get that bear to a meeting.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that funny? And the poor bear passed out.
I wonder if he was a bougie bear because he'd be drinking Heinekens. I guess, I don't know. I haven't drank so long, but Heinekens used to be a bougie
beer. I would have really
beer.
Liked to have known which brand. And he could have been a really good spokesman for the beer company, too, if
That's
they
probably
let
why
that
they
story
haven't.
Yeah. get out. But maybe you're right, Ogama. Maybe it was Ham's beer. A male bear is called a boar or a he bear, and a female bear is called a sow or a she bear. A group of bears is called a sleuth or a sloth.
I wonder if they have that, like, in their, like, when they send out emails, they have that underneath there, like, mm-hmm. you know, I have he, him, and. Mm-hmm. But hey, this is the sacred animal portion of our show.
It's very
sacred. I want to let people know.
But we're learning a lot about bears.
Yeah.
Bear, in an LGBT slang term used by homosexual men to describe hyper-masculine men who have hairy bodies and facial hair or who are heavy set.
Did you just go there?
That's number 31.
It was on the list, Robert. I think it's interesting.
Number 31. The word bear is an old English term derived from the Proto-Indo-European B-H-E-R, meaning bright brown. That's where the word comes from. Wow. An old English
bright brown?
Word. Bright brown.
Mm. Wow. Yep. I would have thought they would have gotten something more... Like, the meaning of that word would maybe be just, like, a tad more interesting, mm-hmm. you know? Yep. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to look up, you know, where polar bear came from or something.
Right.
The or sloth bear.
Right, exactly. Here, let's see. The bear ancestor is an offshoot of the ancient Canid family of dogs, wolves, foxes, and coyotes. Polar bears are the only bear species that is a marine mammal. How do you think of that? Oh, listen, yeah. I like this one. The polar bear's fur ranges in color from ivory to pale tan. Underneath its fur coat, the polar bear's skin is black, which we talked about once, and that is to help absorb heat from the sun. So the black skin serves a purpose. Oh, my God.
I like that one.
I like that one, too, but I don't know if it's apropos for what I'm talking about.
Hey.
All right, let's get that music going, Robert, and we'll hear one more. Let's see. The name grizzly bear refers to the silver-tipped or grizzled hair on a brown bear. One variation of bear, a black bear, is a white bear called the Kermode ghost or spirit bear. These bears are very rare, and Native Americans believe that these white bears had supernatural power.
All right, Peeny Geegee Wendy, thank you so much for our Sacred to Friday light bear discussion. Mm-hmm. I want to give a quick shout out to State Representative Ruth Buffalo of New York, North Dakota. I was looking at Wendy, she's from New York. North Dakota, for being on. Ogama with the news. We'll see you out there. Lewis, we miss you. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office.
Free Leonard Peltier.